Welcome to the Shir Tagum in Parsha Shlach. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Sam and Gail Podemsky, Lezecha Nishmas Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, Gail's father, the Shom Shad Avon Aliyah, Shazim Lachnach, Asurach, and the Tumis, the Samais and Tom, that the entire family is involved in. And of course, I think it's appropriate to wish the Podemskys a Mazel Tov as they're in the midst of Sheva Brachas for their daughter Chaya, who got married a little bit earlier this week. Wanted to focus tonight on the end of the parasha. The beginning of the week, we spoke about the Meraglim as described in the beginning of the parasha. So as we get to the end of the week, we'll focus on the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha, of course, is the parasha of Tzitzis, which is very familiar to us as part of the daily davening, the daily recitation of Kriya Shema. I wanted to focus actually primarily tonight on two psukim within the parasha of Tzitzis, and to see a number of very interesting points that are brought out by the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. So we'll start with the following. Right, of course, we know the Torah starts off describing how the Jews are obligated to make tzitzis al kanfei vigdeim l'dorosam. They should make tzitzis on the corners of their garments. Then in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Lamites, the Pasuk starts off by saying, V'hoya lochem l'tzitzis. It should be for you for tzitzis. Which on the surface is a phrase that doesn't really have any meaning. You know, we've just got through explaining that there's this thing called tzitzis, you put them on the corners of your garments. V'hoya lochem l'tzitzis. And the tzitzis should be tzitzis. As opposed to what? The tzitzis should be tomatoes? Like, what's the alternate that's here in this pasuk? So it's interesting to note that some of the Rishonim, the Rashbam in particular, writes that the word tzitzis in this pasuk does not refer to tzitzis. So what does that mean? So the Rashbam writes as follows. V'hoya lochem l'tzitzis. Hatzitzis hazeh, these tzitzis which were described in the previous pasuk, yeh lochem liriya, they should be something that you look at, shetiru oso. It should be an object of examination. In other words, it should be something that you look at. Kemo meitzitz min acharakim. And in this sense, the term tzitzis means to look at something. We find in Shir HaShirim, it uses the term meitzitz min acharakim, peering through the window. So to over here, v'hoya lochem l'tzitzis, it, meaning the tzitzis described in the previous pasuk, should be for you, l'tzitzis, as something that you look at. So in other words, the word tzitzis in this pasuk, according to the Rashbam, is not tzitzis with a capital tzadi, if such a thing was possible. It's not referring to the item known as tzitzis, but rather the tzitzis for you should be a subject of histaklus. It should be something that you look at. That's the way the Rashbam, the Bukhar Shar, also one of the Rishonim, understands the pasuk in that way as well. Certainly that's not the way I think most of us intuitively interpret that pasuk. The Targum Onkelos certainly does not interpret the pasuk that way. Targum Onkelos consistently translates the word tzitzis as kruspidin. Just in case anyone stops you on the street and says, you know, I was wondering how to say tzitzis in Aramaic. So now you came tonight, you know the answer to that question. Kruspidin. Right? Just in case anybody asks. It's interesting to note that the Aruch, one of the early Rishonim, writes that the very word kruspidin itself is actually a Greek word, which is being used by the Targum Onkelos over here. It's interesting. We also use Greek words to translate other, you know, familiar Hebrew words, right? The word tefillin, right? The word in English, which is used to describe tefillin, as phylacteries, which is ultimately a Greek word. Right, I still have not yet met the person who doesn't know what tefillin but understands what tefillin are once you explain to them that they're really phylacteries. Well, phylacteries, well, why didn't you say so? You know, I couldn't understand what you were talking about, right? But Yehei Mashi Yehei, so the Targum Onkelos uses the word kruspidin to translate the word tzitzis, right? In the previous pasuk is v'asul lahem tzitzis v'yabdu lahem kruspidim v'nosnu al tzitzis hakanaf psil techeles v'yibnu al kruspido de kanfa chuto de tcheota. So consistently uses the word kruspidim, and then in v'hoyo lahem tzitzis he translates v'yahon lachon lekruspidim. They should be for you for kruspidim, which again means tzitzis. I mean, clearly the Targum Onkelos is not adopting the position of the Rashbam and the Bukhar Shor, that the word tzitzis in that pasuk, v'hoyo lachem l'tzitzis, is not referring to the actual fringes, but rather they, the fringes, the tzitzis, should be lachem l'tzitzis, something that you look at. He's clearly not understanding that way, because he translates the word tzitzis as kruspidon over there. Right, no, so I think the way the Rashbam would understand it is v'hoyo lachem l'tzitzis, these tzitzis should be something that you look at, comma, u'ri'isem oso z'chartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, such that when you look at them, you'll remember all the mitzvos Hashem. In other words, u'ri'isem oso z'chartem is all one phrase. You should look at it, and when you look at it, you know, then you'll remember all of the mitzvos Hashem. I think that's how the Rashbam would explain it. But the Targum Onkelos, although it's clear from the Targum Onkelos that he doesn't agree with the Rashbam, we're still left puzzled by the question that prompted the Rashbam to give his interpretation. If you understand that v'hoyo lachem l'tzitzis means that tzitzis should be tzitzis for you, so what does that mean? I mean, it's a statement that doesn't really have much meaning. That tzitzis should be tzitzis. Of course the tzitzis are tzitzis. So the Yonas of Inuzio writes, v'yehe lachon l'mitzvasa d'tzitzios. Interesting, the Yonos of Menuziel does not use the word kruspidim to translate the word tzitzis. He just uses a variant of the word tzitzis, v'yehei l'chol l'mitzvah sod tzitzios, and he sticks in the word l'mitzvahs, for the mitzvah of. So in other words, he takes this phrase as, these tzitzis should be for you for the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, clearly he's trying to address this question. In other words, you know, the tzitzis should be for you for tzitzis doesn't really mean all that much. But what's his answer? In other words, what does he accomplish by sticking in the word l'mitzvahs? You know, these tzitzis should be for you for the mitzvah of tzitzis. So I think perhaps that the Yonos HaMenu Ziel is introducing an idea, which we have in Halacha, that certain aspects of the production of the tzitzis have to be lishma, have to be for the sake of the mitzvah itself. Right, so to take two examples, the tviya, the spinning of the wool for the tzitzis, has to be lishma, has to be for the sake of the mitzvah tzitzis. And additionally, when tcheles was being used as part of the tzitzis, of the mitzvah tzitzis, the tviya, the dyeing of the tcheles, also has to be lishma, it has to be for the sake of the mitzvah tzitzis. Right? So, in other words, there are certain dinim of lishma that, you know, there's a requirement not just to use, you know, wool that was spun into thread, you know, arbitrarily. You were going to use it as window cords, and then you woke up and decided, now it would be better to use it as tzitzis. Or not just to take some threads that were dyed with tcheles, you know, for some other purpose, and then you say, oh, you know what, it would be nice to use it for tzitzis. There's a din of lishma in both of these aspects of the tzitzis. Others say as well, most of Rishonim say that the shazira, the twisting of the threads, also has to be lishma. But there are certain elements that have to be lishma, that have to be done for the sake of the mitzvah tzitzis. Perhaps the Yonos of Menuziel is learning, that's for v'hoyo lachem l'tzitzis. They should be made, parentheses, for the purposes of tzitzis. And that's what he means, v'yahoy lachem l'mitzvah tzitzios. They should be for you, made for the purpose of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Maybe that's what he's bringing out as a way of understanding what this phrase is adding. Because again, otherwise this phrase, v'hoyo lachem l'tzitzis, is very difficult to understand. Okay, but in other words, maybe we found something. In other words, we know there's a din of lishma, right? So the Gemara learns out the din of lishma from the pasuk in Devarim. Gedilim tase lecha al arba kantos kesuscha. Right? You should make gedilim lecha, right? So what does it mean? You should make gedilim. You should make strings lecha you know, l'cha, of course you should make it for you. Who else are you making it for? In other words, you should make it l'shma. That's the way the Gemara learns. But maybe the Onus of Menuzil is understanding that this pasuk as well is hinting at the idea of l'shma, because again, otherwise you're left with the question, what exactly is the pasuk telling you? V'hoye lochem l'tzitzis. The tzitzis should be tzitzis. Of course the tzitzis should be tzitzis. The tzitzis should be made l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. You know, that's already a somewhat novel idea, which is being introduced by the Onus of Menuzil. Perhaps, you don't like it, your money back at the end of the shiur. I probably owe a lot of people a lot of money. So that's the first element in this pasuk, which I think is striking in the Yonos HaMenuziel's translation. And then we continue as follows: Re'isem also, you should see them. U'zechartem is called mitzvus Hashem, and you'll remember all of the mitzvus of Hashem. Vasisem also, and you'll perform all of those mitzvus. Okay, the Yonos HaMenuziel writes as follows. V'sechmon yosei, you should see them, the tzitzis, and then he adds in the following. Bizman da'atun mis'atfin b'hon b'yamama. At the time that you are enwrapping yourselves in the tzitzis during the day. And then when you see the tzitzis, v'sidachrun yaskol pikudai v'sabdun yosam. You'll remember all of my mitzvos and you'll perform them. Yeah. So the simplest answer to that question is when he says misatzfin, he means when you put it on. Now, there are a couple of things that are striking, I think, in this Yonos HaMenuziel. So first of all, he makes reference to the fact that you're wrapping yourself in the talis katan, be a mama, during the day. Now, we know that Laila is lav zman tzitzis. That tzitzis is a mitzvah which applies specifically during the day. It's a daytime mitzvah, not a nighttime mitzvah, right? The pasuk, and we learn it now from this pasuk. Ure'isem also, you'll see it, you know, it means that, you know, there's enough natural light that you're able to see the tzitzis, not that, you know, we're dealing with a time which is nighttime, where there is no natural light. Now, there is a debate between the Rambam and the Rosh with regard to how to understand this concept that tzitzis is a mitzvah that applies specifically to the day. The Rambam writes, what you might think without really thinking about it too much more, tzitzis applies during the daytime hours, it doesn't apply during the nighttime hours. So in other words, I have a talis over here. If I put on this talis during the day, I have to make sure it has tzitzis. If I put on the talis at night, there's no obligation to make sure that it has tzitzis. The mitzvah is it's a daytime mitzvah. Even if it has four corners, the mitzvah applies during the day, doesn't apply at night. That's the Rambam. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says that no, it's not dependent on the time of day, it's dependent on the type of garment. You have daytime garments and you have nighttime garments. A talis like the one we have in Shul is a daytime garment. In other words, it's not pajamas, it's something that you'd wear during the day. This was pre-COVID, right? It's a garment that should wear during the day. So as such, the talus is chayiv in tzitzis. You're obligated to put tzitzis on the talus, whether you're wearing it during the daytime or you're wearing it at night. It has nothing to do with the time during which you're wearing it. It has to do with the type of garment that we're talking about. That's the Rosh's understanding of this notion of day and night being a factor in terms of the mitzvah of tzitzis. The truth is, in Shulchan Aruch, we bring both opinions, and we're machmir for both opinions. We're stringent for both opinions. What does it mean that we're machmir for both opinions? So, if a garment is either worn during the day, even if it's a nighttime garment, or if it's a daytime garment but you're wearing it at night, we're careful to put tzitzis on that garment regardless. In other words, if it's chayiv in tzitzis according to the Rambam or according to the Rosh. However, in both of those cases, we refrain from making a bracha on the talis in deference to the other opinion, that says that it's not chayiv in tzitzis. So, for instance, if a person, you know, if a person got up for Ma'ariv and put on a talus to daven for anomalies, we don't do here in the shul, but in many shuls they do put on a talus for Ma'ariv, so you wouldn't make a bracha on the talus that you're putting on at Ma'ariv. Now, the truth is, according to the Rosh, you could make a bracha even by putting on the talus at Ma'ariv. The Rosh says that since it's a daytime garment, the fact that you're putting it on at night is irrelevant. It's the garment. It doesn't matter what time of day it actually is. But since the Rambam holds that it's dependent on day versus night, as opposed to the type of garment, so therefore, you know, we would not make a bracha on the talus at night in deference to the position of the Rambam. That's why we say halacha l'maisa. You know, when people are putting on their talesim prior to Kol Nidre, this really comes up for the average person, right? So when people put on their talesim prior to Kol Nidre, they should make sure to put on the talus prior to Shkia, prior to the sun setting. You know, so that way you can make a bracha on the talus according to every opinion and not get involved in this machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh. Right. Right, so it's interesting. The Mishnah Brewer writes that you can rely, even though normally we say that you shouldn't rely on the fact that the talus is kosher, you should really just check the tzitzis and make sure that they're kosher. The Mishnah Brewer writes that you can rely on the chazakah of the talus as being kosher. You can rely on the presumption that the talus is kosher when you're putting on at night. Because again, anyway, you have the position of the Rambam who says that, even a regular talus that you wear at night is not chayiv in tzitzis. So at least, you know, we can be lenient, you know, and rely on the presumption that it's kosher. So point being, so how does all this relate back to the Yonos of Nuziel? So the Yonos of Nuziel says, you'll see the tzitzis when you put them on during the day. Right? It sounds like the Yonos of Nuziel is adopting the position of the Rambam against the Rosh, that what matters over here is when you're putting on the tzitzis, as opposed to the type of garment that you're putting on. He doesn't make any reference to, you know, you'll see them when you're putting on a daytime garment. He could have said that. He says, you'll see them when you put on the talus, or you put on, you know, the garment during the day. So in other words, the focus seems to be when you're putting it on, which is the Rambam's position, as opposed to the type of garment that you're putting on, which is the Rosh's position. So that's one thing I think to point out within the Yonos of Nuziel. Perhaps the following is true as well. Again, if you don't like this, you really get your money back at the end of the shiur. There's a well-known Mishnah Brura, where the Mishnah Brura writes that it's appropriate to wear your tzitzis out, so you can see the tzitzis. And, you know, in defense of this position, you know, the Mishnah Brewer says, it's a pasuk. U're'isem also, u'secharitem es kol mitzvos Hashem. You'll see the tzitzis, and you'll remember all of Hashem's mitzvos. So the pasuk says you should see the tzitzis. If you're not actually seeing the tzitzis, meaning the tzitzis are stuck, you know, are tucked into your pants, so then how are you know, forget about, you know, Gemara's Rishonim. How are you fulfilling the pasuk? The pasuk says you're supposed to see the tzitzis. You know, so the Mishnah Brewer says, and therefore you should, you know, take pains to wear the tzitzis out. So writes the Mishnah Brewer. He doesn't bring any dissenting opinions or anything like that. We certainly know that that is not a universal custom. It was not a universal custom. I can't speak to the veracity of what I'm about to say, but I have heard that in Radin, which was the Chofetz Chaim's yeshiva, the Bachrim in Radin wore the tzitzis in, which, again, I don't have first-hand edus to that effect, but most of the Litvishi yeshiva Bachrim in Europe before the war, if you see the pictures, they wore the tzitzis in. They didn't typically wear the tzitzis out. Certainly Rav Moshe Zatzal wore the tzitzis in. Sfaradim are makbid to wear the tzitzis in, based on Kabbalistic considerations. So, you know, it's certainly not a universal practice to wear the tzitzis out. But, you know, you then come back to the very almost basic point that the Mishnah Brewer makes. The pasuk says, "Urisim also zecharedim es kol mitzvos Hashem." You'll see them, and you'll remember all of the mitzvos. So how is that supposed to work, just on the most basic of levels? How is that supposed to... Why would it make sense to wear the tzitzis in? Isn't the whole point of the tzitzis to be able to see them? If you're hiding the tzitzis, so, you know, how does that fit in with the simple interpretation of the pasuk? So perhaps the Yonosan Ben Uziel is a different way of reading the pasuk. The Yonosan Ben Uziel says, you'll see the tzitzis when you put on the garment in the morning. Meaning, Urisem also doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have the tzitzis constantly within your sight. It means, you know, you get dressed in the morning, you put on the talis, whether it's a talis katan or a talis gadol, you certainly see the tzitzis at that point, and that reminder that you have in the morning is enough, you know, to keep you going throughout the day. You know, you don't need the tzitzis constantly visible. You saw them in the morning, you know, you're a smart guy, you know, the fact that you saw the tzitzis in the morning when you put on the garment, and the fact that you know that they're there, right, it doesn't have to be a constant, it doesn't have to be that they're constantly within your sight, it's enough, you know, that you saw them in the morning when you put them on, and that's good enough. So in other words, this interpretation of the pasuk from the Yonosan Ben Uziel perhaps is a different way of reading the pasuk than what the Mishnah Berurah presents, which would... which would serve as the basis for those opinions that do not require the tzitzis being worn out necessarily. Okay, so that's in terms of that pasuk. I want to just bring to your attention a very fascinating Yonosan Ben Uziel on the next pasuk. Leman tizkiru, you should observe this mitzvah in order that you remember. Va'asisem es kol mitzvosoi, and this way you'll perform all of my mitzvos. V'yisem kedoshim le'lokeichem, and you will be holy to your God. Writes the Yonosan Ben Uziel, again, the first part of the pasuk he translates, you know, in a literal fashion. But then at the end of the pasuk he writes, v'tehevon kadishin, v'yisem kedoshim, you will be holy, you know, v'tehevon kadishin, hei kemalachayo d'mishamshim kodim Hashem alokacho. You'll be holy like the malachim that serve before Hashem your God. In other words, if you put on tzitzis, you will become angelic. You will become like the malachim themselves. So first, it's a very, very fascinating statement. Where did the Yonosan Ben Uziel get that from the pasuk? So the Oz V'Hodor over here quotes the commentary Keser Torah, where he writes that the Yonosan Ben Uziel is deriving this from the last word in the pasuk, le'lokeichem, right, to your God. Earlier in Chumash, right, at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah also says, kedoshim tiyu, you should be holy. But here it says not only that you should be holy, or you will be holy, v'yisem kedoshim, it says, v'yisem kedoshim le'lokeichem, you'll be holy to your God. What do you mean you'll be holy to your God? You'll be holy. What does the word le'lokeichem add? So, that's the Yonosan Ben Uziel says, you will become holy in a way that is reminiscent of those who serve God directly, i.e. the malachim. You put on tzitzis, you become angelic. Okay? So that's big stuff, right? But how does that work? You know, what is it exactly about the tzitzis that makes a person like a malach? So one could suggest that, you know, just on a simple level, if the tzitzis are reminding you to carry out the mitzvos, and the mitzvos are your purpose here on earth, and you then serve your purpose, so then in that sense, you're exactly like a malach. What's the whole point of a malach? A malach has a task. The malach, we generally understand, carries out his task and doesn't get sidetracked by other stuff. You know, it's not like the malach shows up and says, you know, I was on my way to sing Shira to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but you know, a funny thing happened, you know, I got delayed, you know, there was, I got an email, you know, I had a message, I had to take care of something, you know, I had to run to the grocery. Yeah, a malach has a task, he carries out the task. What's that? I don't know that it's called a mitzvah. I mean, you know, I don't know if they have mitzvahs in exactly the same sense we do, but they certainly have tasks, you know, they have things that they have to carry out, and the assumption is when a malach is given a task, he carries it out. So in other words, you know, if we're given the Tayyid mitzvahs to perform and we carry them out faithfully, we're like malachim. And others, you know, they have their tasks which they carry out. We have our tasks which we carry out. You know, it's almost exactly the same thing in that sense. But that's maybe the simplest way to understand the comparison to malachim. You put on tzitzis and become like a malach. But I thought as well, if you look in the symbolism of the tzitzis, there's a tremendous amount of emphasis on the heavens. Right? The whole tcheles, the Gemara explains, is ultimately supposed to remind a person of the Kisei HaKavod, of the throne of glory. You look at the tcheles, it reminds you of the sea, which reminds you of the sky, which reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod. The Gemara says that when you make the krichos, when you make the loops, you know, around the tzitzis, each set of krichos is supposed to be not less than 7 and not more than 13. If you look at your tzitzis, so the way we make them, the first of the set of 4 is 7 loops. You know, the last is 13. The middle ones, the way we do them, are 8 and 11. So what's the significance of 7 and 13? So the Gemara says there are Shiva Rikiyim, there are 7 heavens, and if you include the Avirim, the empty spaces between the heavens, so there are 6 empty spaces between the Rikiyim. Don't ask me this one exactly what that means, but... You know, between 7 heavens, there are 6 intermediate spaces. 7 plus 6 equals 13. So by having not less than 7, not more than 13, it's a remes, it's a hint to the whole idea of the rikiyim, of the heavens that are up above us. So there's a tremendous amount of symbolism in the tzitzis that focuses on shamayim, on the rikiyim. Basically, what we're saying by wearing tzitzis is that although we find ourselves down here on earth, there's a very big part of us that wants to be connected to the heavens. So we want to be connected to the heavens. That's malachim. That's malachville. That's where the malachim are at. You know. So we wanna touch that. We want to be a part of that whole world of the malachim and everything that they're doing. And the tzitzis gives us the opportunity on some level, even as human beings, to be able to do that. So hopefully that's a tremendous amount of chizuk, just in terms of the precious nature of this particular mitzvah. It's not just a mitzvah among mitzvos, it's something that really gives us the opportunity to be angelic, yisem kedoshim le'elokeichem, on some level or another, something which clearly is a very, very precious thing. Which wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Yichanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch